The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. However you are taking us in, we do appreciate it on a football Friday. Football, football, football. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly, it's happening.
What's happening? How doing?
Oh, man. Fridays are great because Matt Brown will hang with us just to talk NFL for
a
few seconds.
He showed up early for some reason today.
He was worried about the F1 traffic, he said.
He showed up like a half hour early.
It's like the closer we get to the race, he's more worried to get here on time.
Yeah, I don't know if that logic works, right? Shouldn't it be, as we get closer to the race, more major road construction is finished and done?
Well, based on how far behind they are on construction, you are correct.
Okay.
Yes. If they were all about it and on top of it, Matt's theory would have been right.
I guess I didn't actually. Are we behind on construction?
I just gave it the eye test.
Okay.
We look like we're behind.
I just thought it was like the, what if we put an F1 race in the middle of the strip? What could go wrong? And now it's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to work through.
Hey, if people come into town, I'm like, you shouldn't come to town. You really shouldn't. Just wait. Just wait a few weeks.
You know how many tweets and stuff we've gotten either from the show or whatever, people letting us know, hey, they're coming in town, but they're avoiding that weekend specifically? Yeah, you should.
As they should. We will talk NFL with Matt Brown this hour. We'll go to college football with the Bear, Chris Felica, and of course, Dr. Bob. I hope Dr. Bob understands he has double duty this week. He was on the Megapod yesterday. He was outstanding with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and myself. So we'll talk college football with him as well. And then Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, because Kelly, special numbers game investigation reveals that the World Series begins tonight. I don't know if you know that. No?
You do?
Yes, okay. I'm just curious. It wasn't rhetorical. By the way, you know what this matchup needed? 2 days off for everybody to stew on it. What's wrong? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. I'm just making sure you're all right, man.
Having communication.
I'm just doing a show over here. Don't you worry about it. I'll just roll. All right. Last night, let's start with football last night before we get to baseball. Buffalo Bills, 24. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 18. In the ultimate, you know, I call this stuff Plinko in the NFL. The Price is Right game, for those who don't know the analogy, where the metal chip bounces from rung to rung and then speeds up at the end, and then it falls into any slot that it just randomly falls into. That's betting pre-flop ATS in the National Football League. Not only was this Plinko, this was literal Plinko, as we had deflections and balls bouncing off helmets. And somehow, and I do mean somehow, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get the money, even though they lose this football game 24-18. Bills, you know, I don't want to use the word dominated, though some would say they dominated, at least in terms of total yards. They did 427-302. So in that sense, they dominated the football game. But essentially, it was 10-0 Bills, then it got tied up at 10-10. But the Bills had a 24-10 lead within the first 5 minutes of the second half. And at that point, when they matriculated the ball down the field and took that 2-touchdown lead, two things entered most folks' mind, which is, oh, okay, well, the Bills just going to run away with this. They were, you know, anywhere between 9, 9.5, 10-point favorites at the end of this betting arc, if you will, prior to the game. They're going to run away with this, and oh, by the way, this is also going to soar over, because the total was anywhere between 43 and 41.5. There was actually some 41.5s earlier in the week, so depending on where you got this, nobody scored a darn thing until the very end of this one. It's just unbelievable. There's an array of punts and questionable punt decisions, by the way, in some cases. And it came down to Tampa Bay getting the football back with 10 minutes and 5 seconds left in the game, down 24-10. So you're still down the 2 touchdowns. They started at their own 8-yard line. This drive was 17 plays, 92 yards, and took 7 minutes and 41 seconds of the most non-urgent minutes you will ever see in your life from a team down 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And by the way, the drive, which ended up being, as I said, 17 plays, was extended by 2 defensive penalties on 4th downs, an illegal contact and a face mask penalty on 4th downs. And so when you thought the Bucs were off the field and this was going to end probably 24-10, they just kept going. And so, pardon me, just getting over it. If you had the Buffalo Bills laying the points in this, this was just, that was bad enough. The 2 defensive penalties to extend it. And then with with the bottom line is on the back end of this drive, Mayfield to Evans off of a Christian Benford's helmet from 24 out. Then they went, that was the touchdown, yeah. And then they went for two. By the way, that was also tipped by Jordan Poyer. Went from Mayfield to Kate Otten. Your final score 24-18. Though Buffalo did have to withstand a Hail Mary. I should point out at the end of this game, a Hail Mary that if you could have bet on, no one will touch the Hail Mary and it will hit the floor. It will hit the ground before anyone touches it. You would have cashed big plus money there too. The other little point of this. So by the way, if you're a Bills backer, my condolences to you. If you're a over player who didn't have the 41.5 and had the worst of the total, my condolences to you as well. I do want to point out one other thing. For those who listen to the Megapod, we had the great Stevie Fezzik on week one of the Megapod, and me and Will got in a debate with Fezzik and Todd. Fezzik made the outlandish claim at the time that not only did he invent the question mark, but that he also thought that 80% of the teams in the NFL now understood that if they're down 14, they should take the 2-point conversion. I questioned that aggressively. Will and I were like, there's no way it's 80%. We've kind of tracked this year. It's about 50%. So it's still higher than I thought it was.
Well, that was my guess.
50, yeah. It, by the way, it might even be a tick ahead of 50, a tick north of 50%. It's not 80. We were right that it's not 80. But Todd Bowles did it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Bowles is not exactly the poster child for who you would think would be analytics, progressive, forward-thinking kind of guy. So 24-18 it ends up. And I don't know, all of that in the wash, Kelly. What's your... Isn't the biggest takeaway from this, just from a helicopter viewpoint, the Bills are just kind of just lollygagging through the early middle portion of the schedule?
Here's my big, massive takeaway from this game last night. Josh Allen went 31 for 40, 324 yards passing, 3 total touchdowns, 41 rushing yards. What is wrong with Josh Allen, though? There's something clearly wrong with Josh Allen.
There was a point in that game where it looked like he may not be able to go. Yeah. He had to go in the tent. Kyle Allen was warming up at that point. But Josh never missed a snap in this ball
game. This is an arm thing that's been going on all year. He was on the injury report earlier in the year with this stuff. I thought, man, it might have been a little bit of slightly irresponsible reporting, I thought, on the broadcast last night with some of the things they were saying about Josh Allen in the arm and how he couldn't raise it during a celebration and stuff. And I didn't really know exactly what that had to do with an injury right away when they were saying that. But I do think there is, you look at some of his rushing numbers this year, they're not making him run the ball more, and or they're not having him run the ball as much as he usually is in years past. And I don't know about you, Gil, but this is kind of like Lamar. Like, you're not going to turn Lamar Jackson into a pocket passer and go win a Super Bowl. You're not going to turn Josh Allen, as good as his arm is, into a pocket passer and go win a Super Bowl. And if they're concerned about him getting hit, I'm concerned about betting on this team going forward.
They're 5-3. Now, with 17-game NFL schedules, that's not quite the halfway mark. We get that. But it's essentially that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it in your mind's eye and you're like, okay, Buffalo Bills, what's their appropriate record? Wouldn't it just be, you'd be like, yeah, 5-3. Yeah. That's exactly what they should be.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they are. You are what your record is.
Yeah,
something like that, as Bill Parcells once said.
The defense has gotten beaten up, and that's, if they get some guys back, I think this team can still be really good. But I've got quarterback concerns.
But they're not getting some of these guys back, right?
Some of those guys are not coming back, yeah.
Milano and Tre'Davious White, it's a tough situation in Buffalo in terms of thinking of them as a legit Super Bowl contender, which 3-4 weeks ago, after they had crushed 3 teams in a row by hefty double-digit numbers, we weren't talking that way. But boy, they have just been sort of a middling team since then. So the Bills get the win, but the Bucks backers get the money on just a ridiculous, like, I don't even know what I was watching down the stretch of that game. Just a plodding 17-play, 92-yard drive that took 7:41 off the clock. Baseball does resume tonight. World Series game number one. In the interest of being thorough, we should point out it's Arizona at Texas tonight. For all the marbles, for those of you who have futures like Steven Vegas, who has Texas to beat Arizona in an exacta, man, I know you are locked into this. Rangers game one price is not quite what the series price is. It's a little shy of that, but we're showing -152, plus 142 on the Diamondbacks, on the dime line, on the comeback for game one tonight. It is Zach Gallen going up against Nathan Eovaldi of the Rangers. Eovaldi has been just unbelievable in this postseason, really just sort of drifting off previous postseasons for him. But, you know, right before the postseason, he had, if you recall, again, we weren't thinking of him this way. He had some starts, namely against the Seattle Mariners, where he went five innings, he gave up five earned runs. Then he went 3 1/3 at Seattle. He gave up 7 earned runs. So he went into the postseason and everybody thought, oh, this guy's not going to be able to perform. But Eovaldi found that postseason magic. He's 4-0 in the postseason. Game 2 in the wild card round against the Rays. He pitched in the ALDS against the Orioles. Game 3, those were a pair of 7-1 Rangers wins. He got the win in both of those. Then Game 2 and Game 6 of the ALCS against the Astros, where the Rangers got both of those wins. So he's 4-0 with a 2.42 ERA in those games. 28 Ks against just 4 free passes and a 0.96 whip. The whip. Zach Allen, not so much, even though he was a Cy Young candidate in the National League to some extent this year. 2-2 this postseason, but an ERA north of 5 with 13 Ks against 9 walks and a whip near 1.5 at 1.48. So, and he started with 2 nice wins, both in the wild card round and the DS. But then in the National League Championship Series against the Phillies, he lost twice. So no shame in that. But Eovaldi is the appropriate favorite. I got nothing in game 1. I got nothing on the series. Yeah.
I'll have to wait for Weingart. What am I supposed to watch a baseball game tonight without a bet on it? Come on.
He'll have a bet. I'm sure he'll have a bet. I just don't. Just because it's there doesn't mean I'm embedded. And I don't on this one. This is appropriately priced to me. Matt Brown joins us on the other side to talk National Football League. Our picks as well. Football on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let's talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Matt, did you want to add anything to that read at all?
I think you've done very, very well. ZYN.com.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's Matt Brown, everybody. He's the host of the All Angles podcast and, of course, the handle here, Weekends at the Network, talking football with us. How's your NFL season gone so far, by the way?
It's been good. Last week could have been a disaster, and then the afternoon rallied for us, which was good. Morning was not good. Afternoon was good, so got back to about normal there. But it's been good so far. I haven't, you know, and this was strictly just a product. This wasn't a fundamental change on my end. It was just a strictly product of kind of how I view these teams and how things are going this season, which has changed drastically for me this week. But hadn't been a ton of, like, teaser situations because of the way that just the lines have come out, the way that the injury news has trickled out, the way that I view a lot of these teams, where I think that the range of outcomes is so incredibly wide that I didn't want to get involved with all that. And then, of course, then I have 5 different ones this week, which just was all kind of anchored around the Bills, which want to point this out. So this is a unique situation this week, which I thought was a good one for people to take advantage of if they were going to play a bunch of teasers this week, which was, we always want information as soon as humanly possible, which we talk about. You know, you see it last night, right, with the going for 2, and, you know, then, you know, okay, if we score a touchdown, we can get a kick extra point, win the game. Like, if you play poker, the best reason to be on the button is because everyone has to act in front of you, and, you know, you've got as much information as possible by the time you have to act. Well, I really like the Bills as a teaser leg this week, right, and taking them down to 2.5. So then I just paired them up with a bunch of all the other ones in throughout the course of the week. And guess what? If the Bills leg loses, then I can just re-up, right, and, like, whenever we come in on Sunday. But I would have the information already there, right? I would already know, as opposed to pairing up a bunch of these other legs that I like. I could go ahead and just pair it up with the Bills and know if I've got a winning leg already. And if that's not the case and the Bills would have lost for me, I could come in and then redo some of these in other fashion, you know, somewhere along the way.
It's like when you're down 14 and you go for 2 after the first touch.
He said that at the very beginning of that. He said that. Matt Brown right here, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, what you just said. So it wasn't because you liked the Bills leg the most necessarily. Right. It was because it was chronologically the first.
It gave me a chance to either be in a great position like I am right now, which is a leg already home, heading into a bunch of other legs that I think are you know, at least fairly likely to get there. Or if I bust out and crap out, which this is not a strategy for everybody because some people's risk tolerance isn't as high as mine. But right. if I crap out early on, I can come back in and kind of re-up mm-hmm. on some of these that I do like a little bit better than some of the others. So that's kind of why I've like got bills attached to all of these other ones throughout the course of the week.
As a practice, you're usually keying one team with all your teasers, though.
A lot of times. Yeah. A lot of times. Yeah. This was just a very unique situation in which, yeah. you know, it happened to be on a Thursday. So we get so much information ahead of time, which just made it great. And, you know, would have been terrible had this had it not gotten home. Would have been terrible had it not gotten home. But, you know, it's there for us now.
Yeah, I'm the opposite this week because I've got multiple tied into the Lions, so it's watching everything play out until Monday night that you get to sweat really hard.
You've got the Bills, yeah, so you'll have it all end up with that. You've got the Bills paired with the Vikings, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Lions.
And I have to be honest, this is might be just a complete blind spot in me this week, but I love every single one of those legs. Like, I mean, I love every single one of those legs.
Kelly and I did our teaser segment, and we kind of felt the same way. We're like, which one of these loses? And usually it's the opposite. We're like, okay, which are the
only... You can spot it, right? Yeah. You know the landmine.
Yeah.
Especially all the chalky favorites, right? And that's kind of what Matt went to, too. Vikings the only dog he teased up here. But yeah, it was all the big favorites teasing down.
I'll ask it this way, though. If I did come to you on Monday and I said, well, one of them lost, or let's say Tuesday, one of them lost, which one is it?
I mean, I guess the Vikings. I mean, I don't like this Packers team. I think Jordan Love is actually probably, I mean, statistically, we already know he's one of the bottom, you know, 6-7 quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think just from I think we've seen enough of a body of work right now that it seems like, maybe if he were to reach his ceiling would be slightly below league average. I just don't think that you can see the stuff. You know how you like just get it sometimes with guys? Like you can watch, and even though Bryce Young has struggled so far, like he hasn't made a ton of just completely boneheaded plays. It's just, you know, and you're kind of like, you know what? I could see maybe him getting it somewhere along the way. Obviously, Stroud has looked amazing, and but like you see Love, and it's just like three just complete numbskull plays like a game, and you're just going that's not gonna change, right? Like you can't shake that. Like that's just like something inside of him that he's not gonna be able to get rid of. So I don't know, I'm not buying in on the Packers very much. That being said, Hockenson injury bothers me a little bit with the Vikings. Obviously, you're already without Jefferson. So there's that one is the one that I think that bothers me the most is the Vikings leg.
Numbskull cashes on the show this morning.
Yeah.
Point that out.
Well, here's the thing. As I sit here, anyone that's spent a time around me outside of, you know, this, whatever, curse words tend to come.
No. No.
So as I'm sitting here and I want to call there's something like a play a certain way or whatever, my brain is like going overload. I'm like, listen, Matt, you're on air. You cannot say numbskull is what end up coming to my.
It's the casual setting,
yeah,
I think.
It's one of those things.
Let's do your props here before we get to the other side. So one of them is involved in that Vikings game.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Cam Akers, and this is more of a looking at these guys' role and then going from there, right? Which is Cam Akers over 7.5 receiving yards. If you look at Cam Akers, they are using him more. And so his usage rate is up. And so with his usage rate being up and him getting more snaps, I expect that to continue on a little bit further. There are a lot of guys out there who were screaming this in the offseason, and I was kind of blind to this. I think maybe because there were flashes here and there, but they were saying Madison's really inefficient, right? Like they were like, no, this is not kind of a one-for-one trade with Cook. It's like Madison he's fine, but he's not like a true number one. I think the Vikings proved that whenever they went out and got Akers in the first place because they started to notice it. And so you can see that his usage in this offense has trickled up over the last couple of weeks. And so getting a number, I think, like this as low as it is at 7.5, as long as we get a few more snaps, like I imagine we're going to get, where I think they kind of want to get to where it was, you know, it was like 70-30, then it was like 60-40. I think they'd rather get the flip of that, which is Akers 60-40 to Madison, and then maybe even Akers 70-30 to Madison somewhere along the way, because the more talented guy is Akers, is Akers had a bad attitude. You know, he was upset over there. He wasn't getting the goal line touches and all that, and he's like, I'm going to score touchdowns. That's how I get a raise. And so he was mad about that, and so now he's out of there.
And he's mad at Florida State.
That was an actual transcript from that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yes, deep southern accent.
And so So, if we get the more snaps here, like 7.5 will seem like a gift. And if we don't, and if we get the same amount of snaps, then it won't. And then we'll be sweating this a lot. But I think this one is one that I feel fairly confident. I have this closer to 12 yards. And so with that, it's a pretty big edge for me.
By the way, Dalvin Cook, unrelated to this, also asking out of New York now.
Mecole Hardman again. Yeah. Let's just go back. Just go back to Minnesota.
Just go back.
Yeah, get me out of here. Let's go.
Your other one here is in the Jags game.
Yeah, I wanted some sort of exposure to the Jags, and I just couldn't quite pull the trigger on them. When Kelly and I were talking about this on that Sunday show, when we were looking at it, and it was 2, and I thought that maybe it was baked in that they were still worried about Trevor Lawrence being injured or something. I thought that this would for sure get to 3 or on the other side of 3. That I was wrong. It does look like it's trending to 3 right now. It is juiced 2.5 now on the Jags in this one, but I wanted some sort of exposure, and Kirk, for whatever reason, has kind of taken over with the number one role from Ridley. I think they wanted Ridley to be the one when they started the season, couldn't figure it out. And
it looked like he would be for a second.
And then they just kind of reverted back to what they know best. Or maybe it was Lawrence's decision. Maybe Lawrence, like, you know what, I like throwing him better. I like the routes he runs better. I like all that. And so for those reasons, I think that he's still being looked at and treated in the prop market as if he's kind of more of either a 2 or a high-end kind of 1B or something, where I think he's more the 1A there for this team. So with that, at 52.5, which that number is still available juiced, and 53.5 is actually readily available at normal juice out there. I had him closer to 70 yards, in this game. And so with that, I feel pretty good about putting Kirk in the account.
I actually just bet this before the show too. Tailing you and Adam Chernoff, who I think he had a similar breakdown about the receiving stuff on his podcast this morning. I was listening to that. Talking about if you look at the route tree that they have kind of Calvin Ridley running this year, it's so vastly different than what he did in Atlanta. And Adam is kind of making the point. They think this is probably something they're going to work on during the break, but they've been using Christian Kirk as their man beater, and that's what they're really going to be going up against in Pittsburgh with that.
Yeah, defense. I mean, if you look, he's running routes on 87% of the dropbacks out there. He's getting a quarter target share. I mean, if you're getting 25% target share, that's what we're looking for as it is anyway, right? And so, and he's getting over a quarter of the air yard. So if we're looking for yardage here as opposed to receptions, we're looking for the 52. I mean, he's getting 27% of the long. His air yards as well. So I like it a pretty good amount.
All right. Matt has given us one side. He had Seattle earlier in the week at 2.5. Still recommends it at 3.5 against the Cleveland Browns. He's got 2 more sides, one of which the number isn't there yet either, but it does bring up a big conversation about the value of starting to backup quarterback in a specific situation. We'll get into that. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D, which is where Kelly and I do the show each and every Monday through Friday morning. Kelly Bidlin, that is. It's Gil Alexander. You good? Are you eating?
I'm good. Chance, sorry, man.
Matt Brown comes in here and he buys donuts downstairs for the crew. What a guy.
I split one with Rob Moreno back there. Yeah.
You split that? That didn't look like a split.
Yeah. You broke it in half. Okay. No crumbs. No crumbs at all back in the D.
Remember when we used to do our South Point lunches and stuff? We got to bring those back.
Yeah, we do.
They just want donuts, though. They don't want to hang out lunch. That'd be awkward. Okay.
I don't know. I had to open up the donut box.
By the way, we have to give our football picks before the end of the show. Like, we did all Matt Brown's, but we have tons of picks.
Yeah, we got a bunch. 8:45
coming up. Let's talk some college football. Beginning with the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports. You can catch him on the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football versions. College version comes out Thursdays. Pro football version comes out Fridays. Will Hill among the regulars on his show, our buddy. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. And I was wondering, when do you ever do something nice for the crew?
We were just talking about how at the South Point, I did it all the time. And now Isaiah just gets us McDonald's.
You have your annual Christmas holiday gifts, too, that are always much appreciated.
I do that as well. But, he comes in with donuts. Maybe I should do that more often.
Stop at Dunkin' Donuts, grab a dozen donuts, and move on with it.
Jeez.
Isn't that hard?
God
be a
bless.
Nice guy.
More like just a gallon of coffee for the crew we got back here. We'd take that.
I didn't know this was a roast. Jeez.
It is. It's always a roast with you.
It's always a roast. Okay, let me harken back to a week ago, and I asked you about the Michigan sign stealing thing, and I asked you, "Hey, thing or not a thing?" And you're like, "Yeah, it's nothing." I believe that was an exact quote. Would you like to change that opinion, or are you still it's nothing?
It's something. I ultimately don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to come of this. I mean, it's clear there's something going on. Like, and I said, it's nothing. But I think I did put a caveat on there. As long as they're not like recording, they're writing down signs, stealing signs as part of the game. But what they're doing is an issue. If they are, it's clear that there is a strategic plan here using an ex-Marine who's trained in interpreting things. Like, it's an issue. Ultimately, again, what is going to happen? I have no idea. My guess is nothing happens until after the college football season is over. The attorney will slow play this, and whatever penalties or whatever happens will happen long after Jim Harbaugh has gone off to the NFL in January 2024. But I brought this up on the podcast yesterday with Will, Jeff, and Sammy P. And I'd like to get your opinion on this. They had an opposite view, I think, that I did. I wonder how this is going to affect Heisman voters who may have to vote for J.J. McCarthy. Ooh. Or Jay Daniels or Michael Penix. Like, will there be a little bit of like a betting implication backlash on this where Heisman voters are going to be like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy has been good, but he's known every defense that the opponents are going to put out there, and he's had a clear advantage. Heisman voters have been known to hold grudges for crazier things than that and not vote for people. So I just wonder if this kind of opens the door a little bit where maybe McCarthy should win it and maybe he won't.
First of all, I'm not a McCarthy should win it kind of guy to begin with, but I'll thread the needle on the answer, which is yes. Will some people have that impact their vote? Yes. The only problem with that is, unlike NFL MVP, where there's 50 guys voting on it, there's like 1,000 Heisman voters, right? So I don't know what that number is, what that percentage is. Even if it's 50 people, let's just say it's 50 people. Let's say the entire number of people that would vote on an NFL MVP is impacted in the Heisman. It's sort of like a drop in the bucket, whatever expression you want to use. So I don't know that it ultimately will determine it, but I guess someone would counter by saying, well, all it takes is a few, in some cases. So my real thing on this is, did you see the report about how the in the national semifinal, they were saying that TCU was hip to Michigan stealing signs, and therefore they put out dummy signs and then changed up on them? Do you believe that? That's pretty amazing.
I do. And that's fantastic. And that's what teams are going to do. By the way, this is easily solvable. You put the radios in the helmet, you get rid of all the signs, and you just
mess
with your quarterback, kind of like they do in the NFL and at other levels of sports. It's just bizarre that the college coaching community and the athletic directors and whatever can't like be like, okay, this is easily solvable. We just do this. And why people will be against it, I have no idea.
Yeah, and it's also funny, just the last thing on this, because I don't want to belabor it anymore, but it's also funny in a sport where Chip Kelly and his crew famously would put up signs with four massive icons like, oh, there's a Burger King thing, and there's a, it's like, what are we really talking about here? Okay, this week, I will let you I will ask about one game, but then I will let you have the floor on this. Let's go to specifically to the Pac-12, and I'm thinking this is the marquee matchup of the week, and not the sexiest weekend of college football, but Oregon and Utah, two one-loss Pac-12 teams, where the Ducks are 6.5-point favorites on the road.
It feels like everybody has had the same reaction to this line. Like, isn't this a little crazy of a line? Like, the fact that this has moved this much. And my guess is there may have been a small group of people out there, or a faction of people that may have thought, okay, holding out hope, maybe Cam Rising is coming back, maybe Keithy is coming back. And now that they're really officially out and not coming back, the line has moved and kind of accounted for it and adjusted for that. But everybody seems to be like, it's Utah or pass for this game. And that would worry me a little bit, just because we've seen this Utah offense against the best defense that it faced this year. Granted, it was on the road in Corvallis, do absolutely nothing. And this Oregon defense is stout against the run. I believe they're top 10 nationally in both rushing and both offense and defense. It's a tough one for me because I am super high on Oregon. So this game really scares me. I actually got an Oregon 35-1 to win the national title ticket last week. So I hope the Ducks can escape Salt Lake, but this is a very difficult place to play. Utah's won 18 straight and 29-30 at home. First time in almost 6 years that they've been a home dog. So it's a very tough spot. Nor are we going to get road Bo Nix? Are we going to get good Bo? Who the heck knows? I think Oregon wins, but I'd have a hard time laying 6.5 here.
Yeah, that is the marquee matchup of the weekend, college football. Oregon, again, favored by 6.5 at Utah. And no Dan Lanning. By the way, this was the thing I was going to say about when Chris brought up Cam Rising. Deshaun Watson, I wonder if it will get to the Cam Rising point where it's just like week after week, like, is he playing? Is he not playing? What's going on here? All right, the floor is yours. What are your favorite plays of the weekend?
I seem to be opposite a lot of people on this, and I kind of like that position. Like, I took Texas State plus the 6.5 against Troy. I mean, if you look at Troy, like, they've had a total of 13 points in the last three games, and I've been on Troy a lot this year, and they've been very good to me. But this is going to be a tougher test this week at Texas State, where the Bobcats can get bowl eligible with the sixth win. They have a road win at Baylor already, and they've lost twice. One-score games against UTSA and UL Lafayette. The high-powered offense, DJ Finley, the former LSU and Auburn quarterback, averaged over 38 points a game. G.J. Kinney, who some people may remember, was a Tulsa quarterback with no big numbers. I like Texas State getting the 6.5 here. And I know it's a difference from a lot of people out there who have been on Troy this week, people I respect. So a little bit of concern, maybe, but the fact that I'm taking a good home dog and I think in a good spot. Best offense at Troy's face for a while. So I like Texas State plus the 6.5. I like Cincinnati as well, getting 7.5 against Oklahoma State. It looked like Oklahoma State's season was like going downhill quick in a hurry. You lose consecutive games to Iowa State and South Alabama. The South Alabama game was like 33-7 at home. Didn't know what to do with the quarterback position, really struggling to score points. And now they've won three straight games as an underdog. But now the problem is you're laying north of a touchdown in a bunch of places, and you have that Bedlam game next week, final Bedlam game. Stillwater's already looking. It is an ultimate kind of look ahead dead spot for the Cowboys. They just need to survive and get to that Bedlam game when undefeated Oklahoma comes next week. So I did take Cincinnati plus 7.5. I took another ugly dog, Georgia Tech, getting 12.5. I believe it was 12.5 there at Circa. Against North Carolina. I think everybody's just assuming North Carolina will bounce back off of that embarrassing, one of the most shocking results of the season last week, losing as a 23-point home favorite to Virginia. But Georgia Tech has been a very scrappy underdog. You look at the last 11 times they've been a dog, covered 9 times, won 6 times outright, and that includes 3 wins. You had the win a couple of weeks ago and probable win against Miami as a 19-point dog. You beat Pitt in North Carolina last year outright as 21-point dogs. I'm just not so sure. A lot of times I think when teams suffer that first loss and it kind of takes some of their goals away, it might take a little while to kind of regroup a little bit. So I took Georgia Tech plus the 12.5, and I also took the NC State team total under 16.5. A couple weeks ago against Marshall, I liked the herd, and MJ Morris, who had gone in for Brennan Armstrong, the offense looked great. So there was hope. There was optimism. And then they went to Duke, and they scored 3 points. Like, that was bad. You scored 10 points in an ACC game against Louisville. You beat Virginia 24-21. Granted, that was with Armstrong. And Clemson, who the heck knows what their mentality is, what their psyche is. But one thing that Dabo Swinney usually does very well is motivate his team and get his teams to buy in on causes and goals and belief. And they had this string of 12 straight 10-win seasons going. They're going to have to win out in order to get to 13 straight, including a bowl game. The defense is still very, very good. It was impossible to think what happened last week in Miami with their backup quarterback just basically running the ball down the field. So I took NC State's team total under 16.5.
All right. Yes, no question. Georgia's 14.5 on the road without Brock Bowers against the Gators. Gators can cover. Can they win outright? Yes, no.
I don't think they can. I would lay it with Georgia here. I think the one time we've seen Georgia play its best game of the year was when they feel threatened against Kentucky, and I think they feel maybe threatened tomorrow.
Chris Felica, Bear Bet Spot. Thank you, Chris. Dr. Bob on the other side. Next.